Let's turn to Numbers, chapter 24. This is, just so you know, this is the last EMP session for a while as we are off on our Chinese New Year break, okay? So we'll be back on Tuesday again to Numbers 25, okay? So Numbers 24, let's read this. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as to go as at other times to seek omens, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. He took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the oracle of the man whose eyes open, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water shall flow from his buckets, and his seas shall be by many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He is for him like the horns of the wild wild ox. He shall devour the nations who are his adversaries and shall crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him. Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and curses everyone who curses you." Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, "I called you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have persisted in blessing them these three times. Therefore, flee to your place now. I said I would honor you greatly, but behold, the Lord has held you back from honor." And Balaam said to Balak, "Did I not tell your messengers whom you had seen to me, saying, 'Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything contrary to the command of the Lord, either good or bad, of my own accord. What the Lord speaks, that I will speak. And now, behold, I am going to my people. Come, and I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the days to come.'" And he took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the oracle of the man whose eyes open, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir, its enemies also, shall be a possession, while Israel performs valiantly. One from Jacob shall have dominion and shall destroy the remnant from the city." And he looked at Amalek and took up his discourse and said, "Amalek was the first of the nations, but his end shall be destruction." And he looked at the Kenite and took up his discourse and said, "Your dwelling place is enduring and your nest is set in the cliff. Nevertheless, Cain shall be consumed. How long shall Asher keep you captive?" And he also took up his discourse and said, "Alas, who can live except God has ordained it? But ships shall come from the coast of Kittim, and they shall afflict Asher and shall afflict Eber, so they shall come to destruction." Then Balaam arose and departed and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Amen. We get back to, as I shared yesterday, this very interesting character, this Balaam, and we're caught with him again. There's we can see little insights here and there that something was a little off with Balaam. You know, I talked about this yesterday a bit, but there's something a little off, and we'll see again in the first verse. He says, "When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord, and it was good in the eyes of the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go at other times to seek omens, but he set his face toward the wilderness." And so he was a prophet, or I should say a better word is he was a seer, but yet he was a little bit off. And we can see in the New Testament, there are some descriptions of Balaam and said that he, his path was towards wickedness. And but it goes to the question that we talked about yesterday a little bit. Here's this guy, and he's a bit off, but yet he still hears from the Lord. And it should really, in a lot of ways, give us a lot of pause, especially around people of revelation, right? There's something accuracy is not a sign of God's commissioning. Do you guys understand that, right? You know, the enemy is also very accurate in terms of predicting the future. And so accuracy in itself is not necessarily proof of God's commissioning. It's accuracy and character that come side to side, you know, side by side. And that's really the proof of the commissioning of God. And so here's Balaam, and so now he doesn't seek omens. He used to before, and now he's bypassed that. This could refer to the seven pillars and seven altars, maybe not. And so he now lifts up his eyes, and he sees something, and it basically took his breath away. So he goes into the wilderness, and remember before, Balak only took him to parts of the encampment. And now he's gone into the place and he sees the whole thing. And he sees all the tribes of Israel. And you won't really catch it in the meaning here. But in Hebrew, it's a little richer. And verse 2 says, Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came upon him. What this is meant to say is that he looked out and he saw the people abiding with God. He saw them in real harmony with one another. But part of that, this whole tribe by tribe, they were camped in this place. He saw them really abiding in the Lord. He may have seen maybe fathers teaching their children, you know, near their tents. He may have seen, tribes getting along with each other. He saw something that in some way really took his breath away. And he was so inspired by what he saw, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and then he started to prophesy. He saw a people that got along. He saw people that were in harmony, and I think Balaam was really struck with the possibility of this new nation that he is also slightly a part of, okay? So they get to this place. So he takes up his discourse, in the Old Testament, discourse means parable. All right, it's the same word that's later used in Septuagint later on for the New Testament when it talks about Jesus. So he takes up this parable, and now he starts prophesying, and he says, "This is who it is, and how fair are your tents, O Jacob." In other words, he's quite moved to this, and he starts using God's name in a different way. Verse 4 says, "Who sees the vision of the Almighty?" This is of El Shaddai, the Almighty One. And he starts really moving kind of more into poetry now. And he talks about the dwellings of Israel, the valleys that stretch out, gardens beside the river. Remember, where are they at right now? Remember, where is the vantage point? They're in the wilderness. They're in the wasteland. There ain't nothing going on right now. And so God gives them a picture of the valleys that stretch out, the gardens beside the river, the aloes. These are actually a very specific, special aloe plant known in the region. It says, and aloes that will be planted by the Lord. In other words, God's just going to bless Israel. Like cedars beside the water. Cedars are obviously trees, okay? But very specific trees that are particularly known to this region. If you read in Song of Solomon and other passages, they'll call these the cedars of Lebanon. And so a very particular tree that was majestic and used, you know, for all kinds of religious ceremony and whatnot. But these are the cedars that will be planted by and that will be beside waters. And you're talking about a very fruitful, very clean. This is really their promise they're coming into. Water shall flow from his buckets. His seed shall be by many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag. Agag was, at this time, one of the most powerful kings known. And he says, and even, this king will be greater than that. And his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He is for him like the horns of the wild ox. In other words, rhinoceros, okay? And he shall devour the nations who are his adversaries, crush their bones in pieces. He couches, lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him. Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. Now, doesn't this sound like Genesis chapter 12? All right, this is Abraham's covenant with Israel. And so Balaam is, I mean, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he is prophesying. He is telling them exactly what's going on. And then we have this episode. So Balak, this comedic figure, turns to him and he says, "What? You know, like I called you out here to curse these guys, and now you've blessed them three times." And that's basically, this is one, two, this is the third time that he's blessed them. And so what he does is, he says, you know, get out of this place, flee from this plans. And so he strikes his hands together in anger. And this was in the Eastern tradition, this was like the worst thing you could do to somebody. This meant like, I'm going to crush you. And you can actually see some passages in Ezekiel 27 and 17 and Ezekiel 22:13. It also talks about this, and Ezekiel, or God, is speaking to this. But it was this idea that he is anger, and he claps his hand, and usually meant guards come in, you know, kill this guy, and kind of thing. But it was this really sense of anger that he goes, this is, man, you know, look at Balak's a response to Balaam. He says, flee to your place. Now, I said I would honor you greatly, but behold, the Lord has held you back from honor. It's really interesting. Is it really the Lord's fault in this whole thing? You know, it's amazing when people are very carnal, right? Their viewpoints about God, their approach to life and everything is just all screwy. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't register. And so Balak is in the same place. And then you know, he tells him, he says, man, I told your servants, man, you give me houses full of gold and silver. I can only speak what God speaks. That's all. And so he continues on. But now Balaam says, let me throw you a bone, okay? Why don't you come follow me? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to your people. And then he gets into this incredible discourse, especially as it relates to Israel. Look what he says. The oracle of knowledge of the Most High, Elyon, who sees the vision of the Almighty, El Shaddai, falling down yet having eyes. Look at verse 17. Look how powerful his prose is. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down the sons of Sheth. the word forehead is probably better translated as corners. Like people say, oh, the corners of the earth or whatnot. What that meant was, it meant everything. And so in that same way, he will crush through the corners of Moab. In other words, the Israelites will cover everything. Now, this is what we call prophetic projection. Now, notice the exactness of the language here. I see him, but not now. It's projecting to something. I behold him, but not near. And I use the word projection because he's talking about David, that if it actually... this whole, with Moab, with Edom, with Seir, which is actually the Amalekites, David literally conquers them. David takes a hold of Edom and the Moabites and all these things. In 2 Samuel 8:14, it talks about this. Psalm 60, verse 8 also will talk about the capturing of Edom and the Amalekites at the same time. And I mean, a great conquest. And David really fulfills a lot of these things that are going on. But it's a projection, because what it is now we have prophecy of the Messiah, and this is what the Jews believed is a messianic prophecy. And they believe that Balaam was talking about David, and David is going to fulfill that, but ultimately the fulfillment, the fullness of this would be Jesus. That's why I use the word projection. And so the first part, right, I see him but not now, I behold him but not near. He's prophesying in the future. David is will be on a physical level or on the earthly level will crush Moab and the Amalekites and the Edomites, the Moabites and whatnot. But it's actually a picture of David that's to come. A scepter shall rise from Israel. A ruler shall rise from Israel. And this will be the Messiah. And so Jews, they believe that verse 17, in other words, this is not a Christian opinion or, you know, my opinion as your pastor. This is what the Jews believe. Jews believe that Balaam was talking about the Messiah. And so we have now the beginnings, the rumblings. There's a little bit in Genesis, you know, maybe one or two, but now it's going to become even more pronounced, this whole idea of the promise. He will tear down, end of 17, the sons of Sheth. This is probably a Moabite prince that he actually calls by name that's later on. Again, Edom, Seir, which is the last frontier, the Amalekites. Enemies shall be a possession. Israel performs valiantly. This all came to pass. Every one of these things came to pass. One from Jacob will have dominion, shall destroy the remnant from the city. And he looked at Amalek, so now and he took up his discourse. Amalek was the first of the nations, but his end shall be destruction. He looked at the Kenite, and he took up his discourse and said, your dwelling is enduring, and so on and so forth. Ships shall come from the coast of Kittim and whatnot. And so you have a combination here as he now predicts the future. You have a combination of the Israelites that destroy these civilizations and also Nebuchadnezzar that also comes to destroy these civilizations, the ships that come to Shittim and all these things. And so this is really a... You know, all of these prophecies actually literally come true. And he goes off into this place, and then he asks the question, who can live except God has ordained it? Right? Who can live? Who can have breath outside of the Lord? And continues the prophecy. And then verse 25, Balaam arose, departed, and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Now, interestingly enough, when we read, I think it's chapter 30, Balaam never went home from this place. So, remember his home was, he stayed amongst the pagans, and most likely begin to adopt their cultures and whatnot. And so you could see his heart was off someplace. And that's why, in the New Testament, they talk about his road to wickedness and destruction. And, he never makes it back to his home. He just decides to stay amongst all the pagan rites and, you know, and all these kind of things, which is really pretty a sad ending to someone who had incredible potential. Definitely you could tell that there was a sense in him that really sought after God, you know, the Lord, but also the other part of him that was very carnal and kind of, you know, very much got in the way through all this. So, you know, what are some of the takeaways from chapter 24? You know, what are some of the things? One is, I'll be honest, ever since yesterday, I've been thinking about Balaam a lot, just trying to, man, what's with this guy? Like I shared yesterday, you know, I've met people like this, people that are people of revelation, but they're just off. You know what I mean? They're like just, I don't know if the office, it's just weird. There's just something like kind of weird about them. And maybe, you know, I mean, I think I look at it on a very natural plane in one regard, is maybe they just really went after the gift. I mean, just really just went after prophecy and whatnot, but really didn't really look at their character. I think of someone, I think James, I think you're the one who said it, right? Like Simon. You know, was that you? Someone came to mention, maybe it was a dream or something. But, you know, it was like Simon that wanted to buy, buy the gold. It was you, right? No? Sorry. I'm so confused right now. But, you know, Simon went to Peter, remember the magician, and he wanted to buy this power. You know, he says, hey, here's silver and gold. Can I buy this from you? And, wanted power, wanted to do what Paul and his friends did, but the heart was in a totally wrong place. And I wonder if that's like Balaam, you know, really pursued the gifts, you know, really pursued prophecy and revelation, but never really paid much attention to his heart and his character. As a church, there's nothing wrong. I don't want you to think, okay, all right, let's forget about prophecy. No, I mean, the Bible is very clear. You know, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy. And so if you don't, I mean, you're actually could very borderline be committing sin in a way that you're not really obeying the scriptures. And so, you know, when we look in that regard, but let's do it correctly. Let's pursue that. Let's also pursue our character as well, the development. Because, you know, these things can very easily corrupt as we see this, you know, happening in the life of Balaam. You know, another takeaway that we see is that even though the Israelites may not know and completely understand, I mean, they're in the wilderness, you know, if they had any idea what God had in store for them. You know what I mean? Here this half-pagan, half-religious man starts prophesying of some amazing things about Israel, and they were just in the camp, you know, the outskirts of the camp. There were a lot of complaining. The middle of the camp, there seemed to be a lot of peace, and interesting enough, the closer they were to the ark, right, the more peaceful and religious people were. This is kind of an interesting statement. And so, you know, in the midst of all that, if they had any idea what God had in store for them. And I wonder how many times we lose heart because we look at our current situation. In other words, Israelites, man, I'm in the wilderness, man. Right? There ain't no water around here, right? I mean, Moses has to divinely bring water out of a rock. There ain't much food. We've just been eating this manna all this time. And you know, and all these things are happening. If they only knew what God had prepared for them. You know what I mean? And I wonder how many times that we sit in the wilderness ourselves. And if we only knew, if we only had an understanding that God had something beautiful in mind, a nation of power, a nation that subdues other nations, a nation where we'll be sitting through cedars by the waters and, you know, these aloe would grow and, you know, and all these beautiful things. But yet, if you get stuck and if you just look at your circumstance, you'll never see the promise of God, right? And in some ways, you might even miss out on it. And so let's close our eyes. Now let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Maybe you're like the Israelites in the wilderness right now. There's no water. There are no aloes. There's no trees. Can't even imagine conquering the Edomites, the Amalekites, the Kenites, the Moabites. They seem huge compared to our puny little army. Yet if only the Israelites knew what God had in store for them, they would just trust in Him. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you that are wandering in the wilderness. And maybe your Moabite may be your job that you don't have, or, you know, maybe your Amalekite is your spouse that you don't have. Maybe, you know, your Kenite is the financial situation that you're in. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. His promises are yes and amen. And all we need to do is just trust in Him. It could very well be that the situation you're in right now is a test. It's your Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment. God, You will save us. But even if not, we still won't bow down. You could very well be in a moment of faith. pray for strength to pass the test.
Changing.
let's keep contending for the promises of God in our lives. And let's keep contending for the things that God has revealed in your heart. Maybe about your future, your destiny, your spouse, your family, your job, your work. Let's just keep contending. Let's move in faith. Let's not look at circumstances in our life. You know, hey, we're in the wilderness. Let's look to what God has in store for us. Oh, He's a good God. If you're in this situation, pray for yourself. If you know someone in this situation, pray for them. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray for our community that are battling cancer and recovering from chemo and recovering from surgery. Let's lift them up, lift up their families, and pray in this time that God's healing would continue to flow through their lives. Let's lift up. Pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. pray for China this morning. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for our leaders there and our board, and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to move upon them. There is a leaders retreat coming up in a few weeks. If we can just continue to pray for that. Pray for our friend Jesse ministering there. Pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, and Edie Clark, and churches all throughout. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to breathe life through China. Let's pray. Pray for our board. Let's ask for God's wisdom and His favor upon each of the members. Let's continue to cover blessing and protection over all the families. You know, a lot of newborns in this group. Let's just cover all the moms as they care for the babies, and pray for the husbands to do their work before the Lord. Let's just ask God's favor. Pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and our barista ministries. Let's pray for more volunteers, really friendly faces would greet our church members and help them with whatever they need that Sunday. Let's just pray for our leaders there. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for our men, particularly their Monday morning prayer meeting and the Pure Desire group that's going on, that they would just really grow and really learn to love each other and love them through all their issues. Pray for women's ministry, that they would just really continue to grow, and pray leaders would step up. Pray for the young adults, Yama and Yamama as well. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon them as they gather together. Pray for our house churches. I know most of them are just having fellowship times, which is fine. But let's just ask for, as they gather together before Chinese New Year, that a real love for each other and just really good bonding and fellowship would grow. Causeway Bay Elements, Happy Valley Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Lion Rock, and Taihang. Let's lift them up. Thank you. So we're starting the Pray It Forward, and this is our Lent joint initiative with all the other international churches. And so every morning we'll be praying for one church here in Hong Kong. And so this morning, all the churches are praying for Calvary Church. This is Pastor John Malcolm. He's a really great guy. He's a good friend of mine. And they meet over at the YMCA and TST. And you could read kind of the bio. There we go. Thank you. You can read the bio there of what's going on in their church and how they're planted. It's this really very missional church. They planted quite a few churches in Hong Kong already. A real powerful, it's a charismatic church over in TST. But can you go over the prayer request? So here's some of their things that they're asked for prayer, that Calvary Church will stay true to the call of God. Can we go to the next slide? Sorry, be patient here. Yeah, there we go. Pray for favor and guidance in planting more churches, both locally and globally. More pastors and leaders to be raised up. And Calvary Church will be more committed and dedicated for his cause. So let's spend a moment. Let's pray for Pastor John and Valerie Malcolm. I'll ask the Lord's favor upon the church. And let's just lift up, there's the last one, resources. Right, venues for new churches and ministries and finances. So let's lift up Calvary Church. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for your word, God. And we pray, Lord, that we would be always, Lord God, moving in faith, always believing you despite our circumstances, God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this week. I know a lot of us are going to get some well-deserved rest. Help us to do that, Lord God, to really abide in you, Lord, to spend time with you, Lord, even more. In your word, God, and in prayer, and just seeking your face, Lord. Just be with us. Bless our community that's traveling, God, all throughout this week. Give them traveling mercies, Lord. And the times that they get to spend with their families will be very, very fruitful as well. And so thank you. Just watch over us, God, the rest of this week. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you guys on Sunday and also next time on Tuesday.